All right, so the trade deadline for the NBA passed just a few moments ago at the top of the hour. Let's now turn to WBUR Sports and Society reporter Shira Spinger for the latest in the world of sports. Hi, Shira.
Hello, Tanya.
So, yes, 3 o'clock came and went. And do we know anything about the Celtics and any local big trades?
Well, it doesn't seem like the Celtics have made any big trades, though some do trickle in, or I should say news of some trickle in after the deadline. So I say we have until about 3:15, 3:20 to see if there are actually any big deals. But all signs were pointing toward the Celtics standing pat for now and waiting till free agency and the draft to build the team of the future, what they hope will be a championship-winning team. There were some other teams making big deals, and it's worth noting that the 76ers traded Everett native Nerlens Noel to the Dallas Mavericks. Mm. The Dallas Mavericks also have another Celtics connection in that they are coached by Rick Carlisle, a former Celtic who is a prodigy of Red Auerbach. And since you're from Detroit, Chuck Daly of
my
the Pistons.
Heart
I know.
Still,
so I thought I should get a Detroit mention in there for you. So that'll be an interesting move. That the Dallas Mavericks are building toward the future with Nerlens Noel, and we'll see how that goes. But so far, nothing for the Celtics, but it doesn't mean that the whole trade deadline buildup hasn't been without drama.
That's right. That's right. That's right. Everyone's focused now on stuff like Twitter.
So I know.
Isaiah
it's crazy.
Thomas.
It's a bit of the silly season, I always think, with the way players put out tweets. And you were mentioning
that's
Isaiah
right.
Thomas.
So Isaiah Thomas tweeted these eyeballs, so which are
shifty eyes. Yeah.
And everyone's going crazy, like, what does this mean? What does this mean? What does it mean?
Apparently nothing. But the last time Isaiah Thomas tweeted those shifty eyeballs, the Celtics did sign Al Horford. So people thought, ooh, maybe something big is going on.
There's background there. Okay.
But I think Isaiah Thomas was playing with Celtics fandom a little bit, having a good little laugh at their expense, perhaps. It's worth noting, though, that as soon as Isaiah Thomas put out that tweet, the assistant general manager for the Celtics, Mike Zarin, got about 20 calls from people around the league wondering what's going on
because
not only fans, but people on the inside of the NBA thought, maybe Isaiah Thomas does know something.
Dun, dun, dun. The shifty eyes. Like, people are really worried. Yes. Well, let's shift now to the Olympics, the 2024 Olympics, because yet there is another city that has withdrawn the bid to host the Games. Budapest withdrew yesterday, adding its name to the growing list of cities that say thanks but no thanks to the Olympics. And of course, we know that Boston dropped its bid for the Games back in August of 2015 after the public spoke loud and clear and said they didn't want the hassle that goes with bringing Games here. So why'd Budapest drop their bid?
I think a lot of the same reasons Boston dropped its bid and a lot of other cities have dropped theirs. They don't want the hassle, they don't want the cost, and they see no long-term upside for hosting the Olympic Games. And so now, like there was for the 2020 Olympic bidding process, the Winter Olympic bidding process, there are only two cities left for the 2024 Summer Olympics, Los Angeles and Paris. There's some popular sentiment that one should be given the 2024 Olympics and one should be given the 2028 Olympics, and just let's kind of reconfigure and rethink the whole bidding process in the interim so the IOC, the International Olympic Committee, doesn't have the embarrassment of cities dropping out left and right. Personally, I think there actually needs to be a bigger solution to this problem because I think it's going to be a continuing problem because it is simply too expensive for these cities, whether they're a mid-sized city, a large city, whether there are reforms put in place to recycle venues. It doesn't matter. It's too much to ask cities to host these games these days. I think you need to start thinking about having permanent sites. I think you name five permanent sites. I think you put one on each continent. You know, you have a Sydney site, a European site, an Asian site,
That's
a North American site, and a South American site.
Have folks seriously talked about that?
This has been talked about before, and I think it sort of goes against the International Olympic Committee's desire to expose the Olympics to different communities and different cultures and introduce the world to different countries. And, because it's not just the sports that you see. You also get a sense of the host country, and it allows that host country to shine. But at this point, the host countries and host cities are so burdened by debt and by these venues that become white elephants afterwards that you're really doing these host cities a disservice. Plus, there's this tremendous ramp up when you're hosting Olympics, and you only get one one shot at it.
That's right.
Imagine if you had this tremendous ramp up and then you got a shot at it every 15 or 20 years. So the things that you didn't quite iron out the first time around, you could fix the next time around. I think it would also help the people who, the coaches and the people who plan, whether it's, you know, Olympic committees or media members, and they could say, okay, we have some familiarity with what we're getting into rather than starting from scratch with each Olympic game. So something to consider, permanent sites.
Right. What a change. I remember the 96 Olympics in Atlanta, and it was such a big deal because there was lots of infrastructure changes and so much excitement around it and what it would bring to a city. So to be at this point now, we're really seeing a shift in really how our society works today.
Yes,
and the
exactly.
challenges there. So let's go towards the Boston Marathon and take a look at some big news out of what's happening there. So we're 53 days away, and elite runner Shalane Flanagan has announced this week that she's dropping out due to a back fracture?
Yeah, I mean, this is a really sad story. I have watched Shalane Flanagan since she competed in the Beijing Olympics and was a bronze medalist, I'm going to say, in the 10,000 meters, if my memory serves me correctly. She is one of the all-time greats in American women's distance running. She fractured her back. It was a combination of the snow she received at her training base in Portland, Oregon, and trying to run in slippery conditions and then spending too much time on the treadmill. It was hoped that she might be able to break the drought of American female winners. American women have not won the race since 1985.
Right.
So it was hoped that she could do it. Now everybody's hopes will be pinned on another American runner, Desiree Linden.
Oh, Desiree Linden.
Yes.
All right.
So there is still hope.
There is still hope. Okay, so this wouldn't be sports without talking about the New England Patriots. Even though we're weeks away from the epic Super Bowl win, people are still talking about dun, 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 Tom Brady and that jersey. And apparently he won't stop talking about it either, right?
So I know,
he's been
I love
on social
this.
Media talking about, hey, who has my jersey? But it's actually, it might be worth a lot of money. So the police report valued it at $500,000.
Yeah, I think that sounds like a lot, but I still think that's undervaluing it. I mean, you're talking about the biggest comeback in Super Bowl history, perhaps the biggest comeback in all of sports by perhaps the greatest NFL player of all time. $500,000, it sounds low to me. But I love what Brady is doing in terms of identifying suspects, including, jokingly, his own teammate, Julian Edelman,
right.
His dog, Scooby. I think he also identified Jaws, the shark, as a possible suspect. He's having a little bit of fun with this.
Shira, what if he found out, like, he had his car cleaned one day and he saw it, like, underneath the seat, balled up, you know, all of this workup for something like that?
You have a lot of explaining to do.
I know, right? Exactly. And then there is this video that's on the front page of the Globe. Everybody's talking about it.
I feel like we should have a warning before we tell Patriots fans about this. Please be seated when you hear about what Tom Brady did.
I know. So Tom Brady posted a video where he's skiing down a slope to a big jump and he takes a spill. And it's a big spill, right?
Yeah. So he kind of takes a pretty hard tumble down the slopes.
Yeah. And he mixed in some sound from an old episode of South Park. Let's take a listen.
Okay, ski down to me.
Whoa.
Okay, you see what he did? He french fried when he should have pizza. French fried when you pizza, you're gonna have a bad time.
Okay, we posted this video on our website, and I like to joke that, like, there's Brady's not 1,000 yards away from pizza or french fries ever, right?
Yeah.
But he pizzaed and french fried or whatever that means on the
ski
slopes.
He took a pretty bad spill. And, you know, I think everybody who's a Patriots fan, their heart stopped in much the same way their heart stopped when he went cliff diving during one offseason. So just, I think Patriots fans would like to say to Tom Brady, cool it a little bit on the daredevil skiing and the cliff jumping. Maybe stick with the water sliding, which he has done, and the bad dance moves, perhaps. Perhaps
right.
Just, you know, keep your feet on the ground.
Or maybe chill out for just
yeah,
one
just
day.
Put your feet
with
up.
A pizza and some french fries.
Exactly.
Yes. Well, Shira Springer is WBUR Sports and Society reporter. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
And stay with us. Coming up, we look at a bill that could let you crack your phone and fix it yourself. I'm Tanya Mosley. This is Radio Boston.